Welcome to the Fandom Menace Show with your host, Anthony Ergo, aka Ruin of the Man Baby.
Okay, so today's episode, we have not one but two guests. We have the guys from clubstarwars.com. We've got Paddy and Matt. Guys, welcome to the Fandom Menace Show.
Thank you very much.
Cheers for having us. Thank you.
No problem. And for those with keen ears will recognize the British accents, because this is an old British show. In fact, you're just about 20 miles down the road.
Yeah, we're not far away at all, are we?
Yeah, that's right. Just around the corner. So,
we'll
actually ruin stalkers. So, watch out. We're coming for you.
Yes, I'm used to doing this podcast recording at all hours. I mean, I've had guests from Australia, obviously various parts of America. We've had a Dutch guest, but we get to do this at a reasonable hour.
I mean, that's one of the amazing things about, you know, the internet, is that you can get in touch and share these views with people around the world. So that's a good thing.
It is. And I'm keen to do that. You know, I'm keen to get as many different guests from as many different backgrounds on the show as possible. And I really appreciate you guys taking the time out to do this. So tell me, for each of you, if you would, you know, where did it all start? How far back are we going? What are your earliest memories of Star Wars?
So as far as I can remember, I'm pretty certain that I don't know if it was a pirate or what it was, but I'm pretty certain that around one or two, I saw A New Hope on video at home and became instantly obsessed with it. And my next door neighbour, who was a year young, who was even younger than me, we used to sit and watch it. And instantly I recognised my favourite character as Han Solo, and he wanted to be Luke Skywalker. So we were kind of like Han and Luke. Sometimes we were even Adam West and Burt Ward, because we were obsessed with the 66 Batman. but yeah, so it kind of started there. And first cinematic experience was Empire Strikes Back in 1980. I have this distinct memory of that, of all the kids who were watching the film with me, like humming the Star Wars theme song as it came on over the opening crawl. Now, whether, you know what memory's like, whether retrospectively I was singing it, just kind of in memory-wise, like it got to the point where it's like everyone was singing it. But that's like my outstanding memory of that. And of course, like, I think by the time we were able to recognise things and be a bit more of a human, as you get older, I think Return of the Jedi comes. I've got no real cinematic memory of Return of the Jedi, but in terms of just hammering it on video and the toys, playing with the Kenner toys, you know, getting the Millennium Falcon that Christmas when everyone else got it. And that's all my earliest memories of Star Wars, yeah.
Really. Cool. And what about you, Matt? Where did it all start for you?
Yeah, similar sort of story. I was too young to watch the A New Hope and Empire Strikes Back at the movies and Return of the Jedi, really. I was born in 78. My earliest memories are of Return of the Jedi, I guess, because I was at the right age to get all the toys.
Yeah. At that
point, probably knew nothing of the film at that point, really. Yeah. I was just getting the toys, you know.
Yeah. Making your own film.
Well, you do. Yeah. You do. And I've got them old photographs of me ripping the paper off the presents and the Millennium Falcons in there, which I've still got to this day. You know,
wow.
Big, isn't it?
Yeah, it is in pretty good nick. I've still got all mine as well.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's yellowed a bit over the years, but something that's going to be a project one day to do that up. Yeah, Return of the Jedi, I guess, was my earliest sort of memory of Star Wars, and it's never gone away. I've always loved Star Wars, until recently, I suppose.
Yeah. Listening to Matt say that, I've got to mention, like, I was born in 77, just like Star Wars was, so I suppose.
Yeah, same here.
It's in our DNA, isn't it?
Yeah. It is, and you know, it's the one thing every guest I speak to, and we have people from all backgrounds, all ages, but you know, it's pretty much been a lifelong thing for everyone I've spoken to, and my story is very similar to you guys. I'm similar age, grew up with it, known it for my whole life, and Yeah, I guess even though we were born around about the time the first ones came out, it, looking back, I guess it was more the toys than the movies, actually, when I think about it. You know, it was... Yeah. Now, I just wonder whether kids of today will make that same connection, you know, with the current trilogy, the sequel trilogy and the toys. And I know we see things online about fire sales and bargain buckets full of Disney yeah. Star Wars toys, but...
Yeah.
I don't know. Was it a thing of the time? Maybe there wasn't the same competition in terms of other entertainment and media, but or did yeah. they just get something right? You know, what do you think it is?
There wasn't that much competition for toys, boys' toys at least, yeah. back in the early yeah. 80s. Yeah. When Star Wars came out, it was, what did you have? Action Man? Maybe.
Yeah.
Not much. Not much, really, was there?
It was only afterwards that it kind of started exploding a bit, wasn't it? It was
yeah.
After, you know.
And it was after Star Wars, like, starting getting your Transformers and your He-Man. And
yeah.
yeah. That was all more like 86, 87, I think, yeah. wasn't it? But for those, if you think from, I think, 70, is it 79 when we got the first issue of the Kenner figures, up until 85 when you got the last 17, you know, that was a bit of a toy sort of, it was a standout in the toy industry, wasn't it? And certainly in terms of licensing for film.
For me, there's something about those 3¾-inch figures, which was just the perfect size. Because yeah. you mentioned at the time you had like the Action Man, which were a much bigger figure, and then yeah. you know, a little bit afterwards the He-Man, which again a little bit bigger. The other thing yeah. I absolutely love is Lego, but they're really small. But there's something about that size of figure was just perfect for
yeah.
like you say, recreating your own stories and playing with the figures. And yeah, that's, you know, that's a lot of fond memories that I can relate to, you know, growing up with all those. And when I look back, you know, I was playing with figures, I had no idea who half of them were, really, you know. So yeah, like 5, 6, 7, you got Barada and you've got all these kind of random yeah. creatures who, some of them only have barely kind of cameo appearances in the movie, but you'd make up these stories. And I just wonder today, I mean, what would kids do with figurines like Holdo or old Luke?
Oh, God, I'm going to go there. The Last Jedi.
Let's go there.
Let's go there.
Let's go there.
Let's go there, Ruin. Yeah, come on.
Yeah, the characters in there, they're not... You can't play with an old Luke figure. A grumpy old Luke?
Certain characters, you know, like you say, let's go there. The Holdo thing, and I know we've talked about it a lot before, and a lot of people have talked about it. It was a pointless character, you know, and as we've said before, what I felt was that, you know, Leia could have had the bulk of what made up that character's dialogue,
yeah.
and it's still been, you know, useful and given her more to do in the film, which she didn't have a huge amount to do, again, carrying in what unfortunately would turn out to be her final film. But, you know, what I felt was give her more of that stuff. And then, you know, it should have been Admiral Ackbar that got that heroic send-off and being sucked out the window like that.
Absolutely.
And I know, you know, even Tim Rose, who I've met and a couple of times and interviewed before as well, was like heartbroken, really upset about
yeah.
it. Like,
yeah.
His last day on set, he was crying in the mask. And yeah. you just think, why are they treating these people like shit? It's just...
It's cruel.
It's cruel and it's unnecessary, yeah. but disrespectful.
The other thing I want to mention then, because I know it's an area of interest, is you're a huge autograph collector.
Yeah, yeah.
So I assume this is heavily based around Star Wars. Tell me, you know, what are your prize autographs at your collection?
In terms of Star Wars autographs, I've got a lovely one, which I'll show you on the webcam before we get out of here, but... I've got a really nice 11x14 of Carrie Fisher in the gold bikini, and she signed it, "Love to Paddy, my one true love and sex partner, Carrie Fisher."
Oh no, that's amazing.
that goes a long way to being one of my favourites. I've got Hamill a couple of times on what we're going to end up being complete like cast shots of them in each film. I've got Harrison, of course, never in person yet, but I've not got him on Star Wars. I've got him on two Blade Runner pieces and Indiana Jones piece. But in terms of Star Wars, I've got some other cool stuff. I've got John Williams and, you know, a few other bits and pieces. But, I mean, there's a folder full here that I could go through with you.
Really?
Greg Derman's a nice one as well. Obviously, I've got Dave Grohl's a load of times and stuff. But,
yeah,
it kind of started, it was kind of late starting with the autograph thing. I remember when I was a kid, my dad was an entertainer like me, and he went on to, he worked on a cruise, and Dave Prowse was on the cruise, and dad came back with my first autograph, which was Dave Prowse's autograph.
Oh, wow.
And a 45 single of the Green Cross Code Man signed by him as well.
We have to at this point explain exactly who that is for American and overseas listeners, because way before he did Star Wars, Dave Prowse did this character called Green Cross Code Man, and it was essentially, it was like a public service advertisement, wasn't it? A commercial, and just teaching kids how to cross the road. He was effectively this almost like a superhero character, wasn't it? You could even see back then he just is that huge chest and that fantastic build. He was perfect for Darth Vader. And Matt, I know you're not necessarily as big into autographs, but you mentioned you've got your original Falcon. I mean, is that your number one prize possession, or what else have you got, which is right up there?
Yeah, well, I think the Falcon would be the number one prize possession. I've got ideas to do it up, and it's not too bad, is it, really? I need to put it on display. I mean,
it's in decent shape. I think it's in better shape than mine. Mine's got a couple of knocks here and there on it.
Yeah,
it's well played with, though.
Still got all the all the loose bits and stuff that came with it, which is amazing, really. You know,
most of them, the you lose like the dish and the ramp and the various bits and bobs in the cockpit. And then the stickers start peeling off and
the radar dish and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, that's it.
I only found out recently as well, like very recently. I showed you this as well. Inside the Falcon, there's a false floor, right, in the toy, if you remember. You can store that on the lid that comes off underneath.
That's brilliant design. I bet you there's people listening right now who have just realised that they can do that. And
get your old Falcon, lift the lid up, and have a look underneath. That's where the false floor can store it nice and safely.
Yeah.
Such good design. My only frustration with it was, and it's obviously like a scale thing, but I always wanted to get sort of five of the figurines in the cockpit, you know, like you have in the movie, but obviously you only really get two in. But I always used to try and kind of squeeze like an R2-D2 in the back or something, and just try and recreate that image in the movie. It's time for the Man Baby Challenge. Okay, ruin the man baby here. So it's time for the Man Baby Challenge. And today we have not one, but two man babies. We have Paddy and Matt from ClubStarWars.com. And we are about to test them on The Last Jedi. Now, are you aware of the rules, Paddy and Matt?
Running by us again.
Yeah, like we have schoolboys, so you may have to run it by us again.
Okay, I will run you through the rules, ruins rules. So basically, the Man Baby Challenge is to test how well you know The Last Jedi, and indeed how much you love The Last Jedi. Now, if you know it really well and you love it as much as you love me, then you will get all the answers, or certainly most of the answers, correct. But if you're not such a fan of my movie, then you'll get the answers wrong. So I suppose from your point of view, you filthy man babies, you will look to get as many of the answers wrong as possible. Now, it's multiple choice. It's not as easy as you think. But the idea is, I will give you the question. You have to think of what the wrong answer is and supply that to me. So you've got the advantage. Your team effort. Here we go. Question one. How much screen time does Princess Leia have? A, 15 minutes, 9 seconds, or B, 9 minutes, 15 seconds?
I feel like...
How long was she in space? That lasted quite a while, didn't it?
I feel like we wouldn't be right if we said 15 minutes, 9.
Yeah.
So you're going for A, 15 minutes, 9 is the wrong answer. Well done. Yes!
That's shocking. 9 minutes she was in that film for.
She got 9 minutes of screen time because, probably, of course, had to make time for the fabulous Canto Bite middle sequence. So didn't have time for Princess Leia and other pointless characters like that. Anyway, moving on. Question two. What is The Last Jedi's total runtime? Is it A, 152 minutes, or is it B, 142 minutes?
B, 142.
142,
do you reckon?
Is the not the right answer?
I think that's the wrong answer.
Okay,
all
right,
look
at that.
You're going for B. It's the wrong answer. Yes! 2 for 2, you really are dedicated man babies. Okay, correct. On that one, you got the wrong answer. So 2 for 2, moving on. Question 3. Which character did Aid Edmondson play? Now, this is quite a good question for a couple of Brits because you'll know Aid Edmondson fairly well, a well-known English actor. But what was his character name? So was it A, Commander Horsey, or was it B, Captain Peavy?
A, Captain Horsey.
You're going for A, Commander Horsey.
Commander Horsey, yeah. It's
the wrong answer again. You're 3 out of 3. I must say, at this point, you are on track to be the best performing man babies I've had so far. So let's see if you can continue this marvelous streak. Okay. Question 4. What is the current Rotten Tomatoes audience score for my movie? Is it A, 54%, or is it B, 44%?
A.
Going for A is the wrong answer. You're 4.
Yes.
It's remarkable. Okay. Question 5. What was the name of the ship originally commanded by the marvelous Vice Admiral Holdo? Was it A, the Hawker, or was it B, the Ninka?
Oh.
I never said it would be easy, man babies.
A.
You're going for A? Is correct again. You've got it right. 5 out of 5. This is a truly fantastic performance. Okay. I'm determined
to count. Way too cool name for that character.
Well, George Lucas suggested the Hawker, but obviously I knew better and we went with the Ninja. So, question 6. What was Joseph Gordon-Levitt's Canto Bite cameo? Was it A, as a casino alien, or was it B, a traffic policeman? Harmonized with your ponderings. you're going with B.
Yeah.
It's the wrong answer. It's the wrong answer. This is truly fantastic. Okay. Now, we do have some tricky questions coming up. I'm determined to trip you up. Okay, number 7. Which other franchise did the stunt doubles from The Last Jedi also work on? Was it A, Game of Thrones, or was it B, The Walking Dead?
I said B, The Walking Dead.
You're going for B, The Walking Dead. I'm sorry, but you're wrong again. It's
Yeah, there's a very strong Game of Thrones and Star Wars connection, particularly
Well, you've deduced this fairly well. I can never have 2 people on the podcast again. This is absolutely from my point of view. Okay, I can't even accuse you of cheating because I can see you on the webcam. I can't even see you Googling the answers. Okay, question 8. Let's see if you've got a slip up in you yet. Question 8. How many Star Wars movies had Kelly Marie Tran watched before filming The Last Jedi? Is it A, none, or is it B, one?
I'd say
B, one.
One, yeah.
You're going for B, one. Is the wrong answer.
Wow.
Incredible. Yes, maybe unsurprisingly, she hadn't watched a single bloody Star Wars film before before I recruited her to play the fabulous Rose Tico. Okay.
Amazing character.
Question 9. What was The Last Jedi's code name during filming? Now, of course, as fabulous directors like me do, we give it a special code name to throw people off the scent. So, was it A, Green Harvest, or was it B, Space Burr?
A, Green Harvest.
Yeah, definitely.
Is correct. No, it's wrong, so you're correct. Yes, I think you're far too knowledgeable on Star Wars, but I believe it was a Blue Harvest, the original name for one of the Star Wars movies. But unbelievably, Space Burr, yes, I really, you know, racked my mind for a fantastic, fantastic code name, which would completely throw people off the scent. So, yeah. Yes, my space movie, I refer to as Space Burr. There we go. It's okay. And question 10. Now, can you do a fantastic, perfect 100% score? Here we go. How many Oscar nominations did The Last Jedi receive? Was it A, 6, or B, 4?
A, 6. Go on then. Yeah, I won't have a clue.
Okay, so it's all on this last one. We've gone for 6. It is the wrong answer. You are 100%. It is a fabulous, fabulous turnout for the Fandom Menace. I am rather devastated that you appear to know absolutely sod all about my movie, but there we go. Such is the way. And of course, very disappointed. I was only nominated 4 times. I didn't win any Oscars. I really, truly believed I would be up for Best Director, but never mind. We'll make sure the Oscars are fully paid off for my future trilogy. So, Paddy, Matt, you are the first people to score the perfect 100%. The Fandom Menace salute you. Well done, chaps.
Wow. Thank you very much.
Thanks
sir.
Very much. Awesome.
Okay, so Club Star Wars, Paddy, Matt, I'm still doing the room voice. Scrap that. It's hard to shake when you get into the zone. Okay.
You're going method, man.
It's crazy. Okay, so we're now at the part of the show where we do a little segment called the Star Wars interview. So don't know if you'd be familiar with it, but it's based on the Actors Studio, James Lipton's interview.
Oh, yeah.
So this is going to be a little bit different because obviously there's the two of you. So I'll give you the question. I'll take an answer from each of you. Maybe just for clarity, we'll go Paddy first and then Matt second on each question. So, Club Star Wars, are you ready for your Star Wars interview?
Let's do it.
Okay, let's do it.
And now it's time for the Star Wars interview.
Paddy and Matt, who is your favorite character?
Han Solo.
Luke Skywalker.
Oh, the big two. And who is your least favorite character?
It's a toss up between R2-D2 and Holdo, I think.
And for me, Matt? Holdo.
And what is your favorite scene in all of Star Wars, Paddy?
Very difficult, but one little throwaway scene, it's kind of a little bit of a throwaway scene, but one scene that I really love is the scene in the cockpit between just Princess Leia and Han Solo, where they're inside the big slug thing, and it starts to shake and she ends up in his lap. And she said it. She says, let go. He said, don't get excited. She was like, Captain, being held by you isn't quite enough to get me excited. And he goes, sorry, sweetheart, I haven't got time for anything else.
Would have had to have been a solo scene for you, wouldn't it?
So much. Both of them. Everything with Leia and Solo in that movie, particularly in The Falcon, is just perfect.
Yeah, my favorite scenes are Return of the Jedi, the lightsaber duel between Luke and Vader.
Oh yeah, okay. Okay, and what is your favorite weapon, ship, or vehicle? I just need one, and you can choose whichever one you want.
Falcon,
easy. And your least favorite weapon, ship, or vehicle?
This is really difficult.
I know.
I really don't like those sticks with like some electricity on either end as well. I thought they were kind of
Yeah, we've had that before. Yeah.
Yeah.
Matt.
For me personally, it's a ship, and it's the bombers from The Last Jedi. Those are absolutely ridiculous. Slow. Lumbering, you know, what is the point in them ships, honestly? Where did they come from? You know, they've got Y-wings in the next movie.
Yeah.
Where are they in the last movie? Anyway.
Yeah, the risk of going into a Last Jedi rant, yeah. They're essentially just one big, massive, slow-moving target filled with explosives.
Yeah.
It's
what? Okay. What is your favorite movie?
Empire Strikes Back.
A New Hope, purely because that's what got everything kicked off.
Okay. And your least favorite movie?
Solo.
The Last Jedi.
Which Star Wars quote, phrase, or noise do you like the best? And I feel as though we're going to get a Han Solo quote from Paddy. Could be wrong.
He's just checking
the tattoos on his arms to see which one to pick.
Clean man. It'd be very hard not to say the lightsaber noise. I mean, it would be very difficult not to say that. But again, I do love the DL-11 blaster sound. In terms of a line, Matt, you try and think of yours while I try and think. I love you, I know, probably.
Classic, yeah.
Probably have to be that.
Yeah.
And especially doubly confirmed by the fact that Harrison Ford came up with that.
Yes.
So it's double down on the Ford, really, with that one.
Nice. Yeah. Matt?
Yoda's line to Luke, do or do not, there is no try.
Lesson
because
for life.
It sounds really clever, but when you really think about it, you can't really do it unless you try.
Yeah.
Totally. It's a very, very smart line, and you do find yourself using it to people.
Yeah.
You know, as a musician.
Yeah.
Inviting people to gigs. Yeah, I'll be there. I'll try. No. No.
Do or do not.
Or don't. There's no try.
Go or don't go. Do not try.
don't usually turn up.
Okay, what Star Wars profession would you like to attempt?
Despite the fact my heart would want to say smuggler, I would probably have to say Jedi.
Monster farmer.
Old school, okay. And what Star Wars profession would you not like to do?
The guy who cleans out the toilet in the cantina.
I was going to say the guy who has to mop Jabba the Hutt's sweat from his rolls.
The slug trail, yeah.
Jabba's
And finally, if Force Heaven exists, What would you like to hear Obi-Wan say when you become a Force ghost?
Welcome home, Padawan.
that's a tricky one. We have all the Star Wars movies you can watch, except The Last Jedi.
Sounds like heaven to me. Well, Paddy, Matt, Club Star Wars, that was your Star Wars interview. And thank you for being guests on this podcast. It's been so much fun. I've really enjoyed reminiscing about what sounds like similar childhoods, you know, growing up with the toys and the posters and so on. But before we go, I want to give you both a chance to plug whatever the hell you want to plug. So I know you guys are doing your thing on YouTube. You've got your Twitter account. So please tell everyone where they can find you.
Yeah, the simplest way is to go clubstarwars.com. But if you could seek us out on YouTube and find Club Star Wars, please subscribe and watch, because we really, really need to build our audience up on there. We've got a huge group on the Xbox, but it doesn't always translate into YouTube. So we're trying to direct as many people there as possible. Also, it's kind of a labor of love, and it's a very slow burn because I'm just trying to formulate the ideas properly and get the right people on to interview and possibly pitch it to people to get a budget to continue work on it. But I'm working on a documentary called Finding Ford, which is a Harrison Ford fan documentary. If you would like to find some more information about that, you can find Finding Ford on findingford.com or on Facebook, Twitter or Instagram, same as Club Star Wars, really.
And Twitter handle is @star_club_Star Wars.
Awesome. And of course we'll put all the links in the podcast notes and so on. Gentlemen, it's been an absolute pleasure, and congratulations on by far the best performance in the Man Baby Challenge we've had. It cannot be beaten, it can only be equaled, but you're the first to get the full house. You're certified 100% proof Man Baby, so well done for that.
Hey, it's been a ball. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks very much indeed.